It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pew Research Center estimates fewer Americans are attending in-person religious services. We explore the role of technology and how digital ministries influence what it means to gather, to worship, and keep spiritual communities alive. Join in this conversation throughout about practicing your faith. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tyler Volkers is online pastor at the Ridge Community Church in eastern Wisconsin, also its executive director of ministry. Tyler, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Hey, so glad to be here with you today. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. So why is the Ridge offering a digital ministry option?
The great question. Answer to that, simply, everyone is on digital. And so our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. And we know everyone, probably including you and me, may have been on social media already today and checking something online. And most people, you know, whether you go to a restaurant or a movie theater or wherever first, you're probably going to check out reviews online. And that's going to influence your decision to participate. And so for us, you know, if we want to connect with real people, we want to connect with where they are and they're online.
There is, though, so much noise online. I mean, even as you say that in the movie theater and the got the phone, and can digital ministry cut through that noise and detach itself from the consumer like side of the internet?
Yeah, I think the answer obviously is yes, but I think it's in how approach that a church wants to use a digital ministry and digital tools. And mm-hmm. and the way that I answer that, Kate, is we want to be able to solve and answer, provide answers to questions that people are looking for. And so, for example, you go onto YouTube or Google, you're going to type in a question that, you know, might be related to, hey, how do I fix this? Or how do I find hope? And so as a church, we believe that the hope of Jesus answers real questions that many people are looking for in a culture that is very lonely and looking for hope and peace. You know, if we can provide answers to that question in a way that people are looking for it, they'll take steps to investigate who Jesus is and hopefully make a decision to follow him.
Okay, so you're looking into computer cameras a lot. How do you give mm-hmm. how do you give a sermon differently when you're speaking to a camera rather than to a crowd of people?
Well, I think what you have to realize is that there is someone on the other side of the camera. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at that, one of the things that we want to personalize is who do we know may be engaging on that side of the camera. So, for example, we know that at the Ridge, we've just been blessed to be able to connect with young 30-year-old men. And as we get to know them and hear their stories, that's the person that we're thinking about when we see them on the other side of the camera and get to know them. Kate, the other day I was just telling the story of a young girl who's actually 18 years old. And she went in public with her decision to follow Jesus by being baptized. And she started engaging with us on Instagram. And mm-hmm. she said, I was just looking for hope. I was dealing with anxiety. And some of the content that we put out started to catch her attention on Instagram. And then we've gotten to know her through Instagram and social media tools. And what she began to discover for her, she was like, I realized that Jesus was the only thing that could solve my mental health in terms of my anxiety. And so she came into our building to go and make the decision by being baptized. And that was just all started by us realizing, hey, it's not speaking to a camera. It's not, you know, speaking into a computer or whatnot. It's realizing who's on the other side of that screen or mm. who's on the other side of that camera. That's real important for us.
There was the tool of Instagram, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to reintroduce you here, talking about digital ministry. Tyler Volkers, online pastor at the Ridge Community Church in eastern Wisconsin. And we're going to bring in more voices here. Reverend mm-hmm. Brianna Illinay, the Content Curation and Ecumenical Innovation Coordinator for the Wisconsin Council of Churches. Reverend Illinay, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Good morning. And rounding us out here, Ryan Panzer, author, consultant, and speaker on technology for ministry. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, let's start with you, Ryan. You wrote a couple books on technology in the church. How important is digital ministry now to churches and, you know, as we go forward?
I think it's really important for churches to understand that we live in a culture that's shaped and formed by technology. And part of the way that we extend an inclusive invitation to the life of a Christian community is through our use of in our presence of within digital spaces. So when we think about its importance, I would characterize its importance as being the front door to the life of our ministries.
Being the front door, and yet, I'm thinking about the lobby, the foyer of a church, of that church foyer. That how do you replicate that in the virtual space where people can mingle and connect at the entrance?
It's a great question. It's a great challenge. As Tyler just described, a member of his congregation finding the church through Instagram and then later showing up in the building, that's likely going to be the model that many ministries are looking at when they think about digital ministry, which is being found online, somebody attending worship services at first digitally, then maybe reading some blog posts or listening to some podcasts, and eventually making their way into the building where they'll find that strong sense of community that really defines the church. So as we think about what this model will look like, we can think of digital as being the invitation, and that foyer, that lobby, that vibrant conversation that you just described is what hopefully follows soon after.
Reverend Ilene, you work with churches across the state, and then responding to COVID and the pandemic, it changed everything. Are churches today still offering all those virtual options?
Yeah, we at the council did a lot of guidance early in the pandemic of how do you go online? Because overnight, so many churches who had never considered digital ministry had to become online only spaces. And then throughout the pandemic, had to transition back to how do we do online and in person and do these together. And it's been interesting to watch the transition of, there are many churches that are kind of what we've heard described that have this very strong online presence with Instagram and Facebook and online worship. And then there's really small churches that maybe just have a phone and that go online on a Zoom screen, and it's very low tech, like still high tech, still digital, but very low tech and kind of minimal. And it's been interesting to watch the different models of that, and that it looks different in each place.
I wonder too, it's like if there is such a focus on the digital aspect, does that mean hiring new staff members for that congregation, for that religious community, growing that, a staff to accommodate their digital ministry? Have you seen that, Reverend Ilene?
I would say I've seen a split. There are some churches that are really leaning into online ministry and who are going to do it in this very professionalized way. And if you're going to do it in that way, you do need extra staff because it's one about like running equipment and running social media, but it's also having those people who can help build those relationships and help those people who maybe engage online kind of figure out, well, what does it mean to worship online or what does it mean to then come into the building? But then there's also the other end that there might be one of those really low-tech churches that doesn't have extra staff, that it's very simple. And they also know the people on the other side. It's not this big broadcast. They know that, oh, it's Bev, who is a shut-in, who's someone who's worshipped with us for years and years and years and now like can't make it to church on Sunday. And so they know that if they set up that phone with that Zoom screen or that Facebook Live, that Bev can still engage in her community. And so, like, those options don't require extra staff.
Ryan Panzer, from the consultant side of things, are Wisconsin churches more likely to provide digital ministry depending on their size or their location or other factors?
What you find is that there's many different models for digital ministry from smaller parishes that are using an iPhone and a Facebook live feed to large mega churches with studio quality production. And that's what's really interesting about digital ministry is it's not so much the quality of the production or the staffing resources or the budget that determines whether digital ministry can be effective in mission. Rather, it's authenticity and its consistency. And so regardless of the quality of the worship service or the digital content that your ministry is presenting, as long as you're consistently showing up and you're aware of who's on the other side of the camera, you can truly do great ministry.
Ryan Panzer there consults on technology for ministry. We have Tyler Volkers with us, the Ridge Community Church online pastor in eastern Wisconsin, and Reverend Brianna Illinay, who is leader of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, a leader there. You can join in the discussion at any point. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the rise in digital ministries here in Wisconsin and across the country, and you can join in. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have author Ryan Panzer, consults in digital ministry, and Reverend Brianna Illinay, leader at the Wisconsin Council of Churches, and the Ridge Community Church's online pastor, Tyler Volkers. Tyler, you know, the Ridge started broadcasting sermons in about 2017. I'm wondering, over the years, what are some common challenges of offering digital ministry? What have you learned?
We've learned a lot of different things, and it's led to really some really great opportunities. I think one of the biggest things that we've learned is you can engage with service differently online than in person. And so one of the things that we've learned, for example, of just putting a camera in the back of the room and streaming it online, though helpful and is a great start for most churches. I'm not saying don't do that if that's if you're limited by technology and resources. It didn't feel as inclusive to those who were joining online, and we would hear from those attending like, "Hey, it just kind of felt different," or "I didn't know, I didn't feel included by it." And so, Kate, one of the things that we've learned over the years was to customize our online service, not by changing the message or changing the content, but presenting it in a way that is engaging someone who we're thinking of that person on the other side of the camera. So, for example, we'll start our service with a live host, either myself or another person, and we're just engaging right directly to the camera. Where there's about a few feet in front of me, I'm speaking right to them. I'm talking to them about, hey, if you want to take this step to join this group or serve in in this capacity, like we just talked about a food pantry drive this last week at our online services, here's the button that you can click before below us, or the QR code that you can just scan on your TV right now and then text it. And then what's great when they do that, a real person will respond right to them, whether it's myself or another one of our team members. And so we're engaging with them directly as they're doing as they're responding to the service throughout. So just like how you would expect in a service that you would attend locally. And then we're able to do the same thing with music, where we know if you just record through a Zoom iPhone or whatnot, it's great in the room, but the audio quality may not be what you would want to expect to experience in your living room. And so we're able to take some things where we're able to kind of adjust and mix and send a better quality. And again, that's an advantage that we have at our size of the church, but any church with whatever your resources are, if you're thinking about the experience on the other side, you can customize that so that you're personally pastoring and reaching out and ministering to whoever's on that side of the room. So that's what the biggest thing we've learned is, we want to make sure that we are presenting our online service or online ministries with the other person on the other side in mind, in an attempt to build a relationship with them, to get to know them.
Yeah, and really putting yourself in their position as they take in a service. Let's go to Patrick in Winona, Minnesota. Patrick, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. For myself, I believe that religion overall has been pretty rigid and then doesn't seem to change quite as fluidly with the times or fluid as the times. And I think that this pandemic, the strain of the pandemic on society as a whole has created this shift towards online. It shows a little bit how organic religion can be in a trying situation. And I'm wondering, with AI on the horizon, if you see that as being something that could be incorporated into religion, and if so, because of how it processes information with that logical way and scientific, if that'll have effect on religion as well.
Oh, that's so interesting, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that artificial intelligence. Reverend Ilene, we'll start with you first. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been in some discussion about this because it is one of those big leaps that's happening. And there's kind of two sides of, I will admit, I have used ChatGPT to say, I'm writing an article or some of our communications, like, help me find a title. Help me brainstorm, and I have used it in that way as a tool. Mm. On the other end, I've had colleagues who joked and said, and they've typed it into AI and said, write me a 10-minute sermon based on this scripture passage. And yes, the AI will write it. It is a terrible sermon. And part of that is that faith is deeply contextual. Mm. Our faith is not something that you can just like plug into a computer and think in your brain, but it looks different in each place and with each person. Each person has a story, and we believe that God is moving in that story and in people's lives. And so I would say that you still need that person. You still need that connection. Church is about community. I mean, I think that's one of those tensions, and I've even heard this morning as we've been talking of this, like, yes, we're online, but it still always relates back to the community and knowing that God moves through the community. So I think that's the thing. I think it's a tool we can use, but it's definitely not the answer to all our problems.
Ryan Panzer, your thoughts?
I think ChatGPT and other forms of AI will be great for church communications and digital content that we seek to produce. And going back to the earlier discussion about staffing resources, it certainly provides a tool for congregations that don't have full-time staff in order to do the work of digital ministry, which does require a lot of content and a lot of communications. But on the other hand, you might see a reaction to the rise of AI and digital spaces that might lead us to want to engage more in person-to-person or face-to-face forms of community. Mm-hmm. In other words, as we get deeper into an artificial intelligence driven world, you might see more and more people wanting the face-to-face connections that we're accustomed to experiencing on Sunday mornings.
Oh, that's interesting. Ryan Panzer there, consultant on technology for ministry. We have Reverend Brianna Ilene, leader at the Wisconsin Council on Churches. Tyler Volkers, online pastor at the Ridge Community Church in Wisconsin. Tyler, for shrinking congregations, is digital ministry an answer to growing church attendance?
You know, our goal isn't necessarily to just say, hey, we're going to grow our churches, or our goal is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. And I think when you utilize the tools that other people are using that you're hoping to just share hope and peace with, you're going to see growth. So, for example, I don't want to, you know, we're seeing just engagement growth, both at our in-person locations as well as online in all of our areas of ministry, and you know that's because of God's grace, and we just feel very blessed. But I do think using the strategies and using the tools, and as a church, as Patrick just mentioned earlier, like, hey, let's not be rigid. Let's be flexible and go where people are going. And so they're online. So that is going to be a large contributor to connect with new people, especially as, you know, as we've been discussing earlier, the first step that many people are going to take on their faith journey isn't going to be going to a building or the front doors right away, but they're going to engage with you online first, most likely, especially with the younger generations.
Reverend Ilene, you know, churches dwindling people in pews. Is it the turning to digital ministry? Will that help?
I think it helps. I don't think it's the answer. I think that it's yet another way to engage. I think there are some churches that will do it really well. There are some people who that is the focus of their ministry. But I've heard this theme a couple times today. There's also a deep desire for in-person connection. And so I think it's back to that digital ministry can be the front door. It might be that way that people connect. It might be that way that people learn new things. But I think faith is also something that happens kind of face-to-face and in community. And so I think it's got to be this both and. You need online and you need in-person experiences.
That's Pastor Brianna Ilene with the Wisconsin Council of Churches. Consultant Ryan Panzer as well works in the ministry technology space. And Tyler Volker is online pastor at the Ridge Community Church. Share your thoughts at any point. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pew Research Center surveys suggest slightly fewer Americans are attending in-person religious services, but the share of people who take part in-person or virtually, it remains remarkably steady since 2020. We learn about new digital ministry efforts to keep congregations together, what that looks like. Call in with your experiences. Bring up a question, 800-642-1234. We have Reverend Brianna Ilene is the Wisconsin Council of Churches Content Curation and Ecumenical Innovation Coordinator. Tyler Volkers is online pastor and executive director of ministry at the Ridge Community Church, and technology for ministry consultant Ryan Panzer writes books on this. Let's take a call now. Anna in Randolph. Anna, hi.
Hi. I'm calling about, I actually run a tech table for a very small church in my local area. And I kind of want to talk about how, like, we did something very different from what a lot of churches I feel do. We actually did what I like to call the streamer setup. Because I am one of the younger members, I watch YouTube and YouTube streamers. And so what we did instead is we actually put a web camera, just one you could buy off Amazon, right up close onto like the podium, so you get an in-person close-up face of like the minister or anyone speaking. And we found that the community really liked it, and we have a nationwide community reach, and they like being able to see that up-close face. They can read an individual's lips. You know, they say it became a much more personal experience, even though they're long distance.
I wonder how, Anna, you've seen this change your congregation, change the church that you're a part of.
You know, it's we had this concern of like, are we just not going to have people come back in, you know, if we keep doing this, or are we going to lose our members all in all if we stop doing it? That became our big thing, because we have a lot of farmers who they just throw the worship on the phone while they're driving the tractor because they can't make it to that, you know, 10 o'clock service.
Meeting people where they're at. Oh, Anna, thank you for sharing this. Very much appreciate it. Ryan Panzer, what do you make of this perspective?
A couple of things. First of all, it's a great example of how low barrier technologies can be used to create a high quality worship experience. I think that that streamer example is a really interesting model. The Mevo camera is another very affordable streaming camera that some smaller parishes are using to do this work of digital ministry. But the experience there of meeting parishioners where they are is something that many ministries see across their online worship attendance base. You hear stories of people who are watching sermons as they're scrolling through emails on Monday morning or as they're driving back from a weekend vacation. And so one of the things that digital ministry is doing is it's changing the behavior of what it's like to engage in a worship service. So perhaps this is part of the reason why digital ministry is only part of the answer for the church moving forward. Because while we would expect that somebody watching a worship service in the car or while working out in the field could be useful to one's faith formation, they'll still want to, at some point, experience the in-person community and connection that comes from attending in person.
Let's bring on another experience. Christy joining us from Cary, Illinois. Christy, hi.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm happy to share my story because it really impacted us so deeply. Because during the pandemic, we did watch services online. And although I was kind of a reluctant believer that this could be effective, I was totally surprised and happily so, because not only was this church able to connect with its online parishioners, which was all we had at that time, but we also took classes and got to know people who, other parishioners who were in the classes. And so when we were finally able to join in person again, we already had a leg up, so to speak. We knew the people. We had met them online for months. And so it just made such a welcoming community experience when we were able to go back in person. And now we do, joint service or tandem services online and in person all the time. And it's also, I agree with a point that was brought up earlier, was that it's also it's accessibility for those who are homebound or in an institution. You know, if they can't come through the front door, they have another portal to be part of the community. And our church has worked really hard to, you know, make sure when we're standing up and greeting people, we look up and greet, we acknowledge the people who are with us online today. And so it's been, I was very surprised at how effective and how personal an online experience could be made into.
Oh, Christy, thank you so much. Brianna Illine, please respond there to this experience.
Yeah, I was thinking about that personal connection. I think that's the key. I think I would say when the pandemic first started, I was leading a local church and I thought, oh, we're broadcasting out. But what I quickly learned is how important that personal connection is. And so I was reflecting on my experience. I'm not currently leading a church on Sunday morning. And so my family worships at a local church, but I've got two young kids and getting to church sometime is hard, whether they're sick or whatever. And so we'll throw it on the TV, but it's never just, oh, we're at church. We sit there and we say with our kids, like, oh, look, there's Carter, there's Ben, there's Pastor Jessica. Mm-hmm. And we know the people. And it's that personal connection that's really important.
You also experienced a pregnancy in the pandemic. And I wonder if you would be willing to share what that experience was like, that the congregation couldn't bear witness to you going through that time.
Yeah, it was incredibly interesting. Not how I expected to bear life into the world. I think a lot about how faith is embodied. What does it mean that God gave us this body? What does it mean that we serve our neighbor, that we love our neighbor? Like, the Christian faith is about loving God and loving your neighbor. And all of a sudden, we were home and couldn't do anything. And for me as a pastor, I was preaching in this little Zoom screen. And my entire body was physically changing as I got more and more pregnant. And my entire life was changing because I was about to become a mom. Hmm. And it was such a strange experience to have this incredibly important, incredibly huge milestone in my life that in normal times, I would have had to deal with some of the awkwardness of, like, hey, maybe don't touch my belly. Like, hey, let's have some personal boundaries. Like, women deal with that all the time. And also the, like, hey, look, there is this thing happening. And no one in my life could see that because they only saw me in a little square and they didn't see my pregnancy. And so it was a strange, strange time. And then when the baby was born and I went back to work, we kind of made an effort to be like, okay, we'll bring the baby and read scripture, or I'll preach holding the baby, so that my congregation, who knew me and had known me for years, could see this new part of my life and my family.
That's Brianna Illinois, a leader at the Wisconsin Council of Churches. We talk about digital ministry and technology in the church. And what you see, you can join in at 800-642-1234. We have Ryan Panzer, who is a consultant and speaker on technology for ministry. And Tyler Volkers is here, online pastor at the Ridge Community Church in eastern Wisconsin. As we talk further here about connection, Tyler Volkers, the mission of churches is often rooted in service. Are churches able to maintain that service element to the community as a digital ministry becomes more and more active?
Absolutely. And I think we just heard two great examples of that in our previous callers. To hear from Anna, what a great example of someone who's younger and has a unique skill set and abilities to say, hey, I think we have this idea, and a great church. I don't know anything about her church to say, hey, go be innovative, try this streaming thing and meet people's needs online as you're bringing hope to them. And so I, as Anna was on earlier, I heard that and I was just like, well done, way to go. And then as Christy mentioned, like, there was opportunities for, you know, people to gather online to meet and help, not just educate others, but then pray for one another, serve one another. And then we're just seeing opportunities where we just have to be creative and think beyond, you know, just the screen, but how can we help people engage in community service? An example that we've done this last weekend, Kate, is we're partnering with some local food pantries in our area with an initiative just to pack the pantries, because we know school year is wrapping up. And for many people, that's really great news. But for a lot of kids, that's not so great news, because they're going to lose their access to their school nutrition, and they rely on food pantry needs. And a lot of our local food pantries are already running light. So we're doing an initiative to try to serve 500 families by packing our local community food pantries. Well, our online community is invited to participate in that as much as, if not more, as our those that were challenged at our in-person locations. And so we gave them opportunity to say, here's the local pantries to go to. Here's the Amazon list that you can even buy from if you can't even do that. So you can participate digitally that way. And let's show up. And so for us as a church, it's just having to stretch our mind of how can we embrace both to provide serving opportunities, because it is going to look different, but it's still going to be effective.
Ryan, do you see that as well, where churches are able to still maintain that service component to the community, even though there is this digital ministry pull?
Certainly. And, you know, one of the things that digital allows us to do is experience stories we may not have encountered through our day-to-day life in the building. So digital may actually expand the opportunities that we're thinking of when it comes to our service mindset. But I'd also think about this in the context of, like, what is the hybrid of online and offline look like? And if digital is that front door and that inclusive invitation to life within the community, then it's those in-person connections that will form us and equip us for service and give us the chance to practice our faith. So I see this as a both and, where online is expanding our perspectives and online is bringing us together in offline settings where we can actually practice that service together.
Ryan Panzer is an author and consultant on technology for ministry. Tyler Volkers is here, online pastor at a church in eastern Wisconsin, and Reverend Brianna Illinois, who is a leader at the Wisconsin Council of Churches. Call in with a question, your thoughts on virtual services at churches, the experiences you've had, 800-642-1234 with your question. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss evolving worship in the digital space, how religious organizations adapt and grow. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. We have technology for ministry consultant Ryan Panzer, online pastor in eastern Wisconsin, Tyler Volkers is here, and Reverend Brianna Illinois with the Wisconsin Council of Churches. I want to turn to donations and whether digital ministry makes it easier for people to donate to a particular congregation. Reverend Ilene, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting time in the church. How we are funding ministry is shifting and changing. It used to be very traditional, like you go on Sunday morning, you put your pledge in the offering basket, and then you're done, and the church mm-hmm. funds its ministry. And that's not the reality. And so I think the disadvantage is that, like, many of your people might not see that reminder of that offering plate. Yeah, there might be a QR code or an ask online, but it's a lot easier to skip over that than to take that pause and think, hey, do I really want to give? But there's also the advantage of it's really easy. Mm. And so you can expand your reach. You can connect with people. And so I know that I personally have given to ministries that I've never stepped into the door of their building because I said, hey, I love what this church is doing. And so I want to give and donate there and help them continue their ministry because I see what they're doing online and what they're doing online reflects what they're doing in person. So I'm going to give. And so I think it's this, again, shifting and changing time where people need to get creative.
Let's bring another experience in. Eric in Cameron, Wisconsin. Eric, hi. Hi, Eric. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead. Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Yeah, so I wanted to share with you an approach that a local congregation and I was involved with from a volunteer leadership standpoint. This was back in about 2017-18 timeframe. The local congregation had digital technology already established back in 2012. And I think they were one of the kind of the monarchs to how digital technology was established and kind of exemplifying that from a national standpoint. But one of the barriers we identified was, what about the shut-in population, you know, those groups that were in nursing homes? How do we bring digital technology to them? So I suggested, why don't we reach out to a nursing home, ask them if they'd be willing to be a host site for a watch party. And then what we did was we brought in the technology there and then hosted that digital technology experience to those who were interested in attending. So that particular nursing home location, they hosted that in like their kitchen area, their cafeteria area. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge success. So I just wanted to share that experience. And we were really successful with that.
Did it continue? Eric, can you tell us, was that a one single event or did it continue onward?
Yeah, actually, this was a model that had taken place in other locations.
Ah, okay.
These watch parties, historically speaking, had actually eventually formed into satellite church campuses.
Oh, okay.
That formed across other locations in that state and then in other states. And some of these watch parties have just continued to grow and eventually will develop into its own satellite campus, maybe somewhere nearby.
Eric, thank you for sharing that. Watch parties, Tyler Volkers, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great opportunity and one that we use and have used and continue to use. One of the biggest ones that we try to do to encourage others, and the most success we've had is around holidays. Specifically in the pandemic when, you know, if you still had COVID concerns or whatnot, but we would see families and neighborhoods get together and view and participate together. And we'd invite them to share pictures and post it online as a way to remind us that they're together. But going to Eric's point of like in a nursing home or, you know, whether it's in a prison or opportunities, if leaders are available to say, hey, I think I can take this tool and bring this to we will come alongside and help people gather around launch parties. And as Eric mentioned, I mean, he's absolutely right. That could be the beginning of something so much more that could grow into, you know, other, you know, smaller locations or extensions or even their own churches. It's a great way to help people experience the church in a new and unique way. And so well done, Eric. Thanks for being a part of that.
Ryan, I'm wondering about social media and the ways churches in Wisconsin use social media to connect with members in the midst of the misinformation, the online trolls, and other issues. Does this affect church interactions?
Yeah, it certainly has an effect. I would think, though, about social media and digital technology is more expansive than Facebook and Twitter news feeds. Mm-hmm. While posting something to a public news feed through a Facebook page or a Twitter profile is one way to distribute digital content, and certainly not the only way. And what we've seen is some churches finding that Facebook groups, which are private and give access only by request, are a way for churches to sidestep some of the misinformation that you see in social media feeds. But what you've also seen is the rise of digital messaging apps like WhatsApp and GroupMe, which allow for communities to have close-knit conversations with people they know and recognize. So absolutely, the misinformation and the trolling that you sometimes see in social media is a concern when we think about digital ministry, but these are not the only platforms on which to do digital ministry.
Brianna, how do you seek to build trust in communities that you meet with virtually?
I think it's back to that idea of relationship, of getting to know people. Tyler spoke in the very beginning of, it's not just speaking into a screen, it's knowing that there's someone behind the screen or behind the camera and building that relationship. And I think it's also just continuing to show up. I was reflecting as you were talking about trolling. I'm a woman in ministry. Not every tradition embraces that. I've received trolls or like trolling comments that say, oh, you're not a real pastor. I have many female colleagues that have received those comments. But there's also power in that, of showing up as a woman, of queer clergy, showing up as queer clergy for many places that maybe there isn't a female clergy or there isn't an LGBTQ person in your community that's in leadership, but to show that this is a space that the church also shows up for maybe Spanish speakers, for people to be able to see themselves in the church is a powerful witness and a powerful thing that the digital ministry brings to the world. And it excites me so much.
I want to say by extension of that, Celeste Marie called in from Richland Center and has explored different faiths and is saying that, you know, mm-hmm. non-Christian faiths like Buddhism are also exploring digital options. I want to thank you all for joining us. So appreciate this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Kate.
That's Tyler Volkers, online pastor at the Ridge Community Church, also its executive director of ministry. We had Brianna Illene, content curation and ecumenical innovation coordinator at the Wisconsin Council of Churches. And Ryan Panzer, technology for ministry consultant. Most recent book is called The Holy and the Hybrid. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.